From the Rio Grande to the Sabine and the Canadian to the San Antonio. If it's in Texas, it's on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your Texan-in-Chief, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis, all done without a donor or management-controlled leash or muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, Lubbock is facing a big mayoral election that will either further empower the tax and spenders or restore discipline and trust. We talk with candidate for mayor Mark McBrayer about the issues, including why big money developers are working to elect his tax-raising opponent. Create a more reliable and safer workplace with a drug or alcohol testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906. Allied Compliance Services sponsors our Lone Star story of the day. Texas employment numbers are out. We also have the Baker Hughes oil and gas rig count numbers. And two stench of local government stories are in the stack today, demonstrating once again that government that governs, you know, closer to home may be better than far away from home, but it doesn't mean that there's a qualitative, that qualitatively local government is any better. These people are just as willing and sometimes more willing to abuse people's basic rights as someone in a faraway capital. So beware of the local control thing that you hear so often. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, on demand, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a recording of today's show and other podcast extra interviews at prattontexas.com. For those of you who want to see 33 AD, this is the last performance, the 20th, Saturday the 20th, tomorrow at the Ragtown Gospel Theater. Get there. The performance is at 3 p.m. It's very good. And you can find out more at Ragtown, R-A-G-T-O-W-N, ragtown.com. All right, my friends, it is time right off the bat for Today in Texas History, sponsored by Hub City Title. In 1837, the city of Houston became the capital of Texas. On the 19th of April, it stayed capital until January of 1839. White Horse surrendered on the 19th of April in 1875. The Kiowa Chief White Horse, they surrendered at Fort Sill, Indian Territory. These was present at the Battle of Palo Duro Canyon, which apparently convinced him further resistance was futile. The fabulous victories by Ranald McKenzie. And in 1993, this is the day that the Branch Davidian compound burned to the ground at the hands of the feds. Now, more importantly, why we start off today is that, well, Sunday is the end of Texas independence season. This Sunday is Victory Day, the 21st of April, San Jacinto Day. Texas Independence Day should be mandatory holidays and everything else, but for some reason they're not. We're not going to have much Texas culture left in very much time because people don't even know these things. I don't understand it. Decades and decades ago, schools, everybody celebrated these things. It was a big thing. Our friend Michael Quinn Sullivan had a piece today. I thought I would share his words on achieving independence. On April 21, 1836, the independence that Texans had declared some 8 weeks earlier was decisively achieved. It might not have been, but for the boldness of the people. You see, there were those who wanted to continue fleeing, you know, the runaway scrape, fleeing the massive Mexican army in search of a better battlefield. Others hoped to flee ignobly to Louisiana and leave the promise of Texas behind. Some even wanted to sue for peace, hoping the butcher of the Alamo and Goliad would show mercy. They feared what they saw, a sorely outnumbered ragtag band of Texians going head-to-head against the better-gunned and professionally trained Mexican army under the command of the self-styled Napoleon of the West, Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna. Yet, on the fields of San Jacinto, the Texas militia demonstrated a bold, courageous commitment to their cause by exhibiting a shrewd willingness to exploit Santa Anna's arrogance. It was a high-stakes gambit with only two possible outcomes. Independence would be victoriously secured in a flash, or Texas would be drowned in the blood of patriots. There would be no draw. So in broad daylight, now in the afternoon, with Sam Houston himself leading the infantry, the Texians charged on the napping Mexican army before firing their first shots and charging on the Mexican position. The afternoon silence was broken by men shouting, "Remember the Alamo! Remember Goliad!" To simply note that the battle lasted less than 20 minutes doesn't do justice to the scale of their victory. Nearly 700 Mexican soldiers were killed, another 200 were wounded, and some 700 taken prisoner, including the president, the dictator of Mexico, Santa Anna. In contrast, the Texians lost just 9 men and only 30 were wounded. What was true in 1836 is true today. Liberty doesn't come in timid nibbles. Yeah, you bunch of mugwumps, you bunch of fence sitters, you bunch of moderates out there. Liberty doesn't come in timid nibbles, but through bold action. Never in history has liberty been expanded in a gradual series of small steps over time. Indeed, that's how tyrannies take hold. Liberty's not achieved through timidity, but is rather born from boldness. When people decide they are willing to lose everything rather than live as serfs, that is when tyrants quiver and fall. Sam Houston and the militia at San Jacinto knew their odds and took bold action. For the Lone Star State to shine even brighter in the years ahead, we must continually recommit to doing likewise. Well put, my good friend and fellow true Texan, Michael Quinn Sullivan, today. Our look at Texas history every day, sponsored by Hub City Title, Lubbock's local title company with over 220 years of combined experience. They're reliable and responsive with fast turnaround. They have in-house title examiners. It's your choice. When you need a title and escrow company, use them. HubCityTitle.com. One general headline I wanted to get in today from KENS in San Antonio. Horrible story. Listen to this. A 10-year-old boy has confessed to murder from 2 years ago, meaning he would have been 8 years old, during questioning for a separate investigation at his school. It's what police say. This all took care of. Well, it's Dateline San Antonio, but it's in Gonzales County. On 12 April, the child allegedly threatened to kill another student on a school bus. When he was asked by school officials, they say he admitted he shot and killed a man 2 years previously. That confession launched an investigation by the Gonzales County Sheriff's Office. During his interview with deputies, the boy described in detail how he had killed 32-year-old Brandon O'Quinn Raspberry in January of 2022. Apparently, this boy's grandfather lived in an RV park in the same place this Mr. Raspberry lived. On the day of his death, the 10-year-old retrieved a pistol from the glove box of his grandfather's pickup before going to Raspberry's RV and shooting him while he was asleep. Child told investigators he didn't even know the man, that the attack was unprovoked. This is disturbing in so many ways. A 10-year-old, he would have been 8 at the time. Horrific, ladies and gentlemen. Horrific stuff out there. Now, we've got other big news today. The Baker Hughes rotary rig count is out. The U.S. went up by 2 rigs. Net Texas went up by 2 rigs. We're up to 296 drilling for oil or gas. That's down 81 from this same time 1 year ago. That today's Baker Hughes North American rotary rig count. Employment news is out. 36th consecutive month of positive annual growth, and once again, new record high levels for jobs in Texas. Big deal. The unemployment rate finally actually fell for once to 3.9%. We've been adding record jobs, but there are a lot of people here. It had stayed at 4%, fell to 3.9%. And you're looking at very low unemployment rates, 3.1% in Amarillo, for example, Lubbock at 3.6%, Midland down at 2.6%, Odessa at 3.4%, Wichita Falls at 4.2%, Abilene way down at 3.5%. So you're at full employment in most parts of Texas, and pretty much everybody, Beaumont, Port Arthur is over 5% as usual, odd part of the state, but 5.7% there. Everybody else is well below 4%, a lot below, below 5%, a lot below 4%. More in a moment on Pratt on Texas.
Pratt's back in a moment after we hear from those who pay the bills.
A Texas Aggie from the big country says he visited Dr. Sylvia Zuniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip with his wife, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be. Very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dental Care. Click the banner at PrattonTexas.com.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Listening to Pratt should be required for all politicians and students. Remember, the learning never stops. Now, more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Coming up in the next segment, we interview Mark McBrayer, candidate for Lubbock mayor, the man who should be the next mayor in Lubbock. This is a really big election in Lubbock, and there's a deep political divide behind it all that's not even the normal political divide. It's now pretty much between those who think that the city government exists to profit their business versus, well, the average citizens and their property rights, and that really is a big issue behind it. I've got friends on all sides of it, and they've been very, very honest, telling me right up front what they think about it. Well, I talk about that and ask Mark McBrayer, candidate for Lubbock mayor, about that coming up in the next segment. There are two big stench of local government stories. I have many more than that, but these two are just on the same idea in today's stack. One is by Matt Stringer at the Texan. Kerrville residents file First Amendment lawsuit in federal court against their own city, and it's deserved. And in fact, if people there had any ethics, they would, in the next whatever two election cycles, unelect their entire city government, except maybe one person that voted the right way. Because what they've done is massively un-American. Just massively un-American. On the face of it, prima facie. They're being sued in federal court because they passed an ordinance. The plaintiffs say violates their First Amendment rights to be politically or civically engaged. They call it an incumbent protection scheme, which is no doubt what's behind it. That's almost always what's behind these things. They passed an ordinance by a vote in early March, by a vote of 4-1. Council member Roman Garcia was the only negative vote. 4-1 in Kerrville that they say is to prevent what they called petty annoyances, end quote, which if they're petty, then government doesn't need to be acting and restricting people's freedom. So that's another thing people get wrong often. The bar should be really high before you have government action on something. Listen to this. The litigants say the ordinance requires those interested in electioneering, like my wife's been doing the last week and a half block walking her precinct, the one in which we live, for this, passing out the stuff against this horrible pro-drug use stuff on the ballot in Lubbock, the marijuana ordinance. And we do this all the time. I've led block walk teams. We walk, we go out. I mean, this is just basic Americanism. Or how about standing outside of an election place handing out flyers? The litigants say the new Kerrville ordinance says if you're going to electioneer, you have to get a permit. In other words, you have to get permission from the city. And that permit requires an application, a fee to be paid. But this is worse than a poll tax. And you have to be fingerprinted and undergo a background check. And it lets the city manager revoke anybody's permit if they were dumb enough to go apply for one. And the decision's not appealable. In response to grassroots victories in primary elections and in anticipation of early voting in Election Day on May 4th, the City Council of Kerrville has decided to engage in a scheme to protect incumbents by making the price of participating in civic matters too costly and burdensome, the lawsuit reads. City of Kerrville has in its crosshairs citizens who pass out political literature to fellow citizens on sidewalks, citizens who hold signs in support of candidates near a polling place, and citizens who knock on the doors of their fellow community members to speak about issues of civic importance outside the hours specified by the city, it further alleges. Now, I want to say, yes, this should be settled in court, but my gut Texan reaction is these are the kind of things that almost justify a standing up of the people, the old-fashioned mob with the pitchforks things down to City Hall. Now, I'm not saying that's the best way to handle it, but that's what these people do. They create the situations that deserve that kind of reaction. Kerrville residents Terry Hall and Rachel Vickers filed the lawsuit yesterday in the Western District of Texas. Quote, "We are astonished that a city whose voters are so conservative, 86% Republican." Now, don't fool yourself. We have this out in West Texas, too, and they're not all Republicans or conservatives. "They have a city council where only one member saw fit to vote against this unconstitutional restriction of free speech. With our success in this last primary election reaching voters directly by distributing our voter guides at the polls, this is clearly one of the ways the city wants to stop us from doing that. We can't allow this ordinance to stand, and we're hopeful the court will grant an injunction immediately so that such election interference cannot happen in the city of Kerrville." No kidding! And by the way, the city, they were contacted for comment, and I don't know about whether they're going to expend taxpayer resources to fight the legislation or whatever. All that a spokesperson for the city government would say is, "We'll comment at a later date." Now, this is on the face of it un-American. And again, as I said, this is the kind of thing that justifies armed uprising by citizens. Now, I'm not advocating that. I'm saying, for all the people who keep saying that these things are never the answer, what the hell do you think people fought wars for and died? What do you think people fought in the revolution for, gave their lives and in injury? And I just don't understand why everybody thinks that we're supposed to be calm about everything. This is just basically a blanket that you have to go to government to engage in general political speech in Kerrville now. And they want your fingerprints. It's insanity. So all I'm pointing out is, for all the people that always just fall apart every time there's some kind of huge civic uprising against something, or particularly, when people actually gather, and they're always, remember one of the officials said that violence never solved anything. Well, actually, it's what won all of our liberties. None of these things ever came apart because the nature of man is to not be free. It takes bold action, as Sullivan said about San Jacinto. It's always taken bold action. And yes, the courthouse is the place to solve this. All I'm pointing out is, don't be blaming everybody else all the time when you're the ones who pour the gasoline out there and light the match and throw it on there, because politicians do that all the time, and then they get all high and mighty about how other people react to it. This is awful. And then there's another one out of the Fort Worth report today, and it's a very left-leaning article. Anti-transgender event at Fort Worth. They're speaking out against this idea of trying to change sex. Anti-transgender event at Fort Worth Community Center canceled, sparking debate over free speech. A bunch of conservative groups got together, and they were going to have, at a very nice community center in Fort Worth, they reserved the room, they paid for the room, the deposit, everything. And when a bunch of people found out that, well, it's to have speakers who are anti this, including somebody that was talked into this trans stuff once, and in other words, to express a viewpoint. That's all the problem is, that none of this is violent. Nobody's talking about arresting or anything transgenders. Now, that's how the liberals try to frame it. It's insane. It's just a regular program talking about the dangers of all of this. It's pure, 100% a political viewpoint meeting. And the city hasn't backed down in Fort Worth, even though it supposedly has a Republican mayor. She's a fake. She's a social Republican. The rich friends are Republicans, so that's what she is. I don't think she's worth a darn. They quoted late in the story, University of SMU, or SMU, professor, "You have to remember, offensive speech is still constitutionally protected," said Thomas Leatherberry. Peter Stephenson, an adjunct clinical professor of law at the First Amendment Clinic at SMU, said in the instance of a legal challenge to Fort Worth's restrictions, courts would consider whether the community center counts as a designated public forum. And if it is a public forum, which it is, they rent it out for all kinds of things, you can have reasonable restrictions on time, place, and manner. But restrictions on viewpoint and speech content are not allowable, but they're going forward with it. And again, that's why I get sick, folks, of everybody telling me local control, local control, local control, because our rights are abused at the local level every bit as much as they are at some far-off, distant capital. All right, coming up next, I interview Mark McBrayer, candidate for mayor in the city of Lubbock in what is really a big election upcoming.
Patience is a virtue. Brad on Texas continues after this.
Time at the lake, on the boat, or just fishing from the dock can be great fun and a great retreat. You know what would truly make that investment in time just right? Having the coolest dock on the lake or pond. Elite Custom Boat Docks, right here in the big country, is the creator of the best, most fun custom boat docks. Imagine enjoying time with a slide, trampoline, and diving spot on your dock. See examples of these custom creations at EliteCustomBoatDocks.com. Have the coolest, most fun, and functional dock on the lake with EliteCustomBoatDocks.com.
Federal investigators blame human error for a deadly natural gas explosion.
We all remember where we were that morning.
We could actually see the smoke from our farm here, which is close to 20 miles away.
I just heard a big boom. The tile plow ruptured into the pipeline. Once the gas got through the intakes of the tractor, this is when it ignited. I started running as fast as I could. The ground literally started erupting from my feet.
Watch the rest of the story at 3secondslater.org. And remember, Farm Safe starts with 811.
Pratton, Texas Listener Club member Tom wrote, I just returned from Costa Rica. I went there on your suggestion and cannot agree with you more. This was the best dental experience ever. I had a good bit of work done and Dr. Zuniga was able to get it all done in one day. The amount of care and attention was unbelievable, from the work itself and the follow-up to make sure everything was great before I went home, made this a great experience. While root canals and crowns aren't fun, this is the way to do it. Thank you for recommending Dr. Zuniga in Costa Rica. I certainly will be referring friends and family. Learn more. Click on the dental care banner at PrattonTexas.com.
Now, a man who understands that elected officials work for us. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. As you've heard me mention, the city of Lubbock, oddly, has city council races in the city in which I live, more than I can remember in my lifetime. We've got a whole bunch of them that aren't competitive. Only one person filed. That's very unusual. But when it comes to the mayor's race, we have a really big race in the city of Lubbock, and it's a race that offers a real opportunity for conservatives. As all candidates need to do to appear on the show, Mark McBrayer has done so. I've gone to PrattonTexas.com and used the contact form to request time to talk with all of us. Councilman McBrayer, I will say out front, I've known Mark McBrayer since the 1980s. In a business relationship. We're not buddies. We hadn't stayed friends all those years, but we've known each other, and we've been around conservative Republican circles for a long time. He ran last time for city council, and actually, even though he didn't have an opponent, which, again, rare in that district, went to all the forums. We have people running for mayor who can't show up at any of the forums. You didn't even have an opponent last time, Mark, and you were at the forums. And as I've told the audience, you're the one person. Everybody else was in a competitive race, and they were working so hard to outdo each other at being the most conservative and against tax increases and all that. And then of all of them, including our friend the mayor, the one person who kept his word was you and voted against tax increases. Your biggest opponent seems to have voted for every spending and tax increase project that's come around since he got involved in politics. Mark McBrayer, tell us about the campaign and why you're running for mayor of the city of Lubbock.
Well, and thank you for having me on, Robert. And you're right. I mean, when I ran unopposed in my district, I also did a mailer out to all the voters in my district telling them who I was and what I stood for, because I didn't just take it for granted that I was going to be their council person. I wanted them to know who their council person was. And I've stood up very strongly for my district. And so I'm running this race. It's not something I think should be handed to me on a silver platter or anything. It's not something I'm doing because I think it's a prize I'm entitled to. I could easily not run. I could easily just finish out, you know, another 2 years on my term, run again if I wanted to, maybe unopposed. But there were too many, I thought, differences between me and Mr. Massengale, who I served with the council on. You've mentioned one of them, taxes, but there are a host of others that I needed to give the citizens of Lubbock and the taxpayers a real choice this go round.
Well, so, when it came about originally, this was very fearful for all of us who are movement conservatives in the city, and particularly those of us who have been around for decades, because some of us remember Mr. Massengill going around telling people they're really Laney Democrats, but you got to look like a Republican in Lubbock. I think he's a fake as any kind of Republican. I'm not even sure he's claiming the GOP mantle anymore. It doesn't matter. He hasn't governed like anything but a Democrat. And you've got some people upset at you in this race. There are certain moneyed interests in town who have not been very happy because you voted to protect people like me, average homeowners and people who weren't big developers. And one of them told me, well, he's voted against every development down. I said, no, he didn't. He didn't vote against any development because the council doesn't vote up and down on whether a private sector can develop something. I said he voted against zoning variances that would have changed the rules for other people who already own their property. Would you address that for a moment?
And you've already explained it very well. I don't know that I could explain it much better than you. That is a common complaint, and I know the developers are strongly against me. They're putting money into Steve's coffers, $5,000, $20,000 a pop. So he's got a massive advantage over me there. But I think when people understand what's really going on here, as you explained it, homeowners have property rights too. You know, they live in their home. They want their home values to stay good, and they don't want their neighborhoods disrupted.
Well, Mr. McGrair, it's not just another deal for us. It's most of us. It's our only big investment and our largest asset in our lives. That's what really bothers me, is the looking down the nose at average and small property owners. But I mean, I'm a big friend of the developers. That's why some of them have talked to me. I'm personal friends. And I've just told them, what are you talking about? If you want to come in and do something, then make it fit the existing zoning. And if it doesn't, then you need to pay, like Delbert McDougal did, to redevelop North Overton, the largest private redevelopment in North America.
Everybody else.
You need to, you put your money up and you make those people whole. You negotiate with them. You don't just go in there and get the politicians with big campaign donations to say, okay, I can put a five-story building up right next to your backyard or in front of your house or whatever. If that wasn't already in the zoning, if it's in the zoning, fine. And you didn't vote against anybody's project. In fact, you just voted against some variances. And I understand you actually tried to work with some of these people on these issues.
Yes. And people say, well, you're not a developer. You're not an architect. Well, that's not the point. The point is that zoning comes with certain restrictions, setbacks, density requirements. And these people came in needing variances or needing a new zoning designation. So they wanted to change the zoning so that they could build a much denser facility with a denser population-wise, with 700 students in it, height variances, no setbacks, like seven stories tall, 450-foot long wall of a building right behind your house, right across the alley, you know, with a 10-foot setback, not the normal 50-foot setback. And I just said, well, you know, you're asking us to change everything here for you, without consideration of what that does to the neighbors right across the alley or street from you. And I'm not going to just do that unless what you're asking us to do is something appropriate. And it wasn't. I am not against development. I'm not against student housing. It's across 19th. It's across university. But these guys have a certain return on investment they need, so they can build it, fill it up, get good rents and rates on it, and they can turn around and flip it to somebody else, an investment company. That's how they operate. They're not bad people. Developers aren't bad people. They just happen to have, a single interest in mind that doesn't necessarily take in the interest of the homeowners next door. So I couldn't do that. And so, yes, I voted against it, and they're upset with me, but they're trying to make it look like I'm against development. No, when these guys go out in the north or south or west or east part of town and want to develop a new neighborhood, I say, go for it. I'll do anything I can to help you with that and see that that happens. But when you come into an existing neighborhood, you know, it's got to be the right thing.
Well, you represent the most active neighborhood, and you live in Lubbock. I mean, it's the oldest and most powerful and involved neighborhood association in the city. And people in that neighborhood didn't want that next to them. Now, that's fine if there is no vote for the city council, folks, if it fits the zoning. And if you have to seek a change or a variance, you're seeking to change the rules on people who have already bought property, and those rules are there to protect the property value of people like me or you that have a home or another kind of building. And that's why I think this is so intellectually dishonest to say he's against development. In fact, I think you did offer some ideas for this one on 19th Street to them, and they just weren't interested.
Yeah, you know, I tried to work with them, and I said I'm not an absolute no. If you can make some changes that take into consideration, you know, what normal zoning is seeks to do to protect neighborhoods, and I asked them. My final question. This was actually the one on university. I said, "Have you made every change that you can make?" And the fellow who did it is a great man. I liked him very much, but he said, "Yes, we have." And I said, well, I'm sorry, I cannot vote for it. But I'm not against them. I actually went down and visited his development down in College Station. It's a great development. It's wonderful, but it's not next to a neighborhood. And it's beautiful. I'd love to have something like that here in Lubbock. But
I guess that's what you were talking about when you announced your run for Mayor Mark McBrayer in Lubbock, was protecting Lubbock neighborhoods as one of the big issues. I want to get into some of the other issues in the race when we return here on Pratt on Texas, visiting with Lubbock mayoral candidate Mark McBrayer.
Pratt's interview continues in a moment. Stand by.
If it moves in your warehouse or business with battery power, Texas Battery will keep it moving. Texas Battery is your source for the right battery for material handling equipment, from forklifts and scissor lifts to newer autonomous warehouse machines. If it moves with battery power, Texas Battery will keep it moving with the correct batteries. Rely on Texas Battery to keep your supply chain moving. Texas starts with TexasBattery.com. TexasBattery.com. That's TexasBattery.com.
A bank with a triple threat. Now that's interesting. New Lubbock leadership, a new branch in Palm Beach, Florida, and a checking account that offers 5.25% annual percentage yield. That's right, a checking account with rates like a CD from a bank that's been blocking out for you for over a century. That's smart. Vista Smart. Vista Bank. Texas owned and operated since 1912. Member FDIC.
Licensed DACLA 1229 OE.
Heart Heating and AC is my choice and the choice of many listeners. One listener wrote saying she wanted me to know what wonderful service they gave. Another told me how impressed she was with Heart's knowledge compared to another firm on whole home humidity control. Heart Heating and AC keeps my home and the True Texan studio cool in summer, warm in winter. Take your business to Heart. HeartHeatingandAC.com.
Sharing stories that matter. Here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We're visiting with Mark McBrayer. He is running for mayor in Lubbock. It's a big mayoral race. And Mr. McBrayer is the one councilman who hasn't voted since he got on. He kept his word, didn't vote for tax increases, didn't vote to balloon the budget or, you know, spend more than we can afford. And everybody else did, including people that ran as running as hard as they could to outdo each other as a conservative in the last election. Mark McBrayer is now stepping up to run for mayor. The person who is getting a lot of the money from certain moneyed interest is somebody that privately, some of those people are friends of mine, and for years they've not liked the guy. In fact, they've been people saying, oh, he's really a Democrat and everything else. And this gets down to whether good government means what's in my pocket's interest or what's in everybody's interest. And we've got a lot of problem with that in our country today, but it's nothing new. It's just human nature, and I understand it, and I understand when these people say, well, it's, you know, not good for my business. Well, so what? I mean, you know, that's the way it is. There are other issues, though, beyond this development stuff. One of them I want to ask you about, Mark McBrayer, is the whole concept of what went on during the Massengale-Pope years and that group that's really a lean left allied with the Democrat council members. It's nonpartisan, but, I mean, a lot of these people are well-known. We know what primaries they vote in, who they back. The issues of no longer going to the public to ask about major projects. I mean, my entire lifetime, in the entire lifetime of people who are 50 years older than me, if they're still living, they're 100 and something years old, has been that every time you do some big project, a new city hall, new police headquarters, building a total change in how the policing's done, building facilities, there's always been an election, a bond election for that. But we've gotten in this habit here and in many other cities in Texas, like they just decided to use CO bonds to build a jail in Midland County. I mean, this is insane. What are your thoughts on that? Because I think it's quite disrespectful of the people, and I think it's rather unethical to do that stuff just by a council vote to issue long-term debt in people's names.
Well, and that is one of the issues with it, is the amount of money that causes your tax rate to go up, because you have to pay for it with certificates of obligation. And my belief that something that large, the citizens should have a right to weigh in on. But my other issue with it is the whole design behind a lot of this, the three police substations, the new police headquarters, was to improve policing and, you know, I imagine to help deal with the crime problem we have. We have a serious crime problem in Lubbock, and everybody knows it. Everybody hears the sirens every night and wakes up the next morning to find out about a shooting or a murder, and it's drug and gang related. And we've got to get a handle on that. And the way you get a handle on that is with your police. 3 years ago, our policemen had to mount a campaign to lobby the city council to give them a raise so that they would be somewhere even close to being competitive with other salaries. They lose officers to other cities. So they had to dig into their own pockets to convince the city council to give them that raise. But the council had no problem with spending, you know, $60 million on all these new buildings. Buildings don't bring down a crime rate.
Buildings are not factories. Too. They're not integral to how efficient the line works. They can make some bit of a difference, but they're just assets. They're not the actual policing. And too often, even in our school business, it's like a facility somehow going to make people learn better. I mean, you know, maybe marginally if something was in the way of learning in an old one, but this seems to be something our society has bought into, and it does seem to be a bit of a misapplication of resources. In business, Mark, we always said, we'd always tell somebody, okay, you want a raise, you want to make more money, go out there and make this work, and then you'll get a piece of it. In other words, why couldn't we have said, okay, if we get a handle on crime and bring crime down to certain level, then we'll build you newer facilities. It always seems to go the other way around, and that's just my opinion on it. What are the other big issues?
Well, it was a cart.
Go ahead.
Yeah, cart and the horse. Right. It was a cart and the horse deal, and I will say, you know, we should have put our money. If you go to the public, here's my theory on that. If you go to the public and you have shown them that as a matter of routine, you keep their taxes low, when you come to them with something that's really necessary, they all agree on is really necessary, like increasing your pay for your police officers, they will vote for that because they understand the importance of that.
And that happens all the time.
But if you'd have come to them for a $60 million project for a new police headquarters and the three substations, and then you had to build a parking garage for $7 million. When we had an old city hall, we could have converted for all those purposes and not had to build the parking garage. You could put everything else in there and had room to spare. Our police headquarters is already full up. I think the public would have said no to that, but they would have said yes to paying our police officers. So now you've got all that you're paying for with your taxes. And at some point we may have to come back and ask for a raise for our police officers, but we could have done that maybe within our budget if we had not gone to the expense of building all these buildings.
By the way, Mark McBrayer has the endorsement now, I believe, of the Lubbock Police. Is it association? Is that what they call it?
Yes, Lubbock Professional Police Association.
Yeah, LPPA. That's what I was thinking. Now, what are the other big issues you hear from people? I mean, you've been on the council for a little while. You represent the noisiest, most active part of the city as far as one part of your district now. And now you're out campaigning for mayor. What are the other issues you hear from people very quickly?
Yeah, crime, taxes, spending, those are the three things that come up a lot. The problem we have with dangerous dogs roaming our street is another issue.
My area, that's a problem.
Well, I think it's in every area. It happens. You know, I've been attacked by them in a park before, right next to my house. They didn't bite me, but you know, when they come at you, you know, the older I get, I could have a heart attack with those things coming at you someday. But, you know, we've had people killed, mauled by them. And killed.
Yeah, I read these stories, by the way, are all over the state almost weekly. I mean, terrible. I mean, deaths, horrible maulings. And some people just think it doesn't matter. To me, it's a basic. I live next to a park and it's in school. And people just take them out, let them loose. And then they're just running around in packs. And animal control people are responsive when we call, but it's just seems to be a growing problem. What are the other things that you hear from people that really affect their quality of life?
Well, and again, in my campaign, the issue is my theme is a new direction, but the new direction is really getting back to basics.
Right.
What people seem to sense, and if you're my age, your taxes are capped. But people have kids.
Oh, man.
We're raising families here and trying to make it on a budget. And it's tough. And we're in a tough time for a lot of people. Their wages haven't kept up on one side of them, and inflation's eating them alive on the other. And your house appraisals go up, and so your insurance goes up. And it's hard for them to make ends meet. They just want City Hall to pay attention to that, to consider that when we start making budgets and say, you know, don't try to do everything. Make sure you do the things we need you to do and do them well. Focus,
yeah, right.
Set priorities, and put your finances. And if we show them we've done that, then I think they will work with us. They will vote for us when we come to them with something like a street bond issue. That's a good example. A couple of years ago, City Council, before I got on it, came to them with that street bond issue. Not very well conceived, but they had their taxes raised every year. Went to a vote, the citizen said no. Then the first year on council, we did not raise their taxes. We set the no new revenue rate for the first time in my memory. Showed them we were going to be fiscally disciplined. Went back to them with the same road bond, a little bit more money, actually. They voted overwhelmingly
right,
for it.
And that's what people will do. It's McBrayer4Lubbock.com is the website. Mark McBrayer, candidate for mayor of the city of Lubbock. McBrayer4Lubbock.com is the website if you want to learn more. Thanks for joining us, Mark.
Hey.
Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.